The talk of planet Earth. This is TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio. Time for more Pageant Talk Radio on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to the show, and thanks for staying with us. Today, I'm giving you the scoop on the dumb and dumber things that contestants do that undermine their ability to walk away with the crown and sash. And I'm also going to be talking about what directors do that are that's dumb and dumber, and what judges and pageant coaches do, too. So I talked a little bit about a variety of things that contestants do, and I have just a couple more things that I want to make sure you're not doing as a contestant. One of the things that I want you to make sure you're not doing is to listen to gossipy pageant staff during the pageant competition, whether it's a week or a weekend. You know, there's always one or two members of the staff who really want to get close to some of the girls and really want to seem like they're in the know and they're more important than they are. And so they start gossiping. They start telling you, insinuating that they know how you did an interview, or they know how you did in preliminary competition, or they know who the top 10 or top 5 is, or they're sharing information about a judge, or they're saying something about the director behind her back. Ladies, if you listen to gossipy pageant staff, then you are not an elite contestant. I'm just going to tell you that people who are going to be an elite level title holder do not get involved in negative information and gossipy stuff. They just turn their backs and change the subjects and move on. Do not listen to gossipy pageant staff. What you're doing is you think you're being nice. I mean, it's okay to smile and just move on. You know, change the subject, go to the bathroom, whatever you need to do to move on. You don't need to correct them. You don't need to challenge them on that. This is not the time and place, but you don't need to listen to it, because when you listen to it, you're going to start to worry, and then you're going to start to think, and then you're going to be in a negative energy tailspin because you're worrying and thinking about the situation. Do not listen to negative pageant staff that gossip. Bad, bad, bad. The next thing that you might be doing is that you're thinking, someone gave me some advice about that pageant, but you know what? That's not going to happen to me. There are several pageants that are wonderful pageants to compete in, and I think each and every one of you should consider them. But there are some pageants that are not good. They have a strong reputation of being unethical. The judging is not correct. The directors manipulate the scores. They seed the judging panel with their personal relatives and family friends, et cetera, et cetera. There are some pageants that are not good to compete in. You shouldn't waste your time and energy in it. There are some pageants that when you do win, the director is going to make your life hell for the entire year that you are the title holder. Either they're not going to come through on the prize package, or they're just going to be so demanding and overbearing and wanting to control every aspect of your life that it's really not worth it. And what often happens is you'll get advice, you'll get that feedback from your makeup artist or walking coach or pageant director or photographer, and this is what you think. You go, oh yeah, but you know, she's different. That won't happen to me. I'm smarter. I'm stronger. I'm better able to handle that kind of situation. We all think, oh, that won't happen to me. And then it does. And then 2 months later, you're on the phone calling me, telling me that you're miserable as the title holder when I, or your makeup person, or your photographer, or your walking coach, or your best pageant girlfriend who was the title holder 2 years ago, told you not to enter that pageant all along. You have to know that if a pageant has that reputation, it has that reputation for a reason, especially if you're talking to ethical people who are going to give you unbiased, straight history, not just opinion, but straight history on what's happened for that pageant. The other thing that you need to do is stop holding yourself to one standard when you hold everyone else to another standard. And here's what I'm talking about. You'll go to a pageant and someone will have their little pageant meltdown, or someone is having their little temper tantrum backstage when they didn't win or they didn't place, or someone is getting a call on her cell phone backstage from her mom who's sitting behind the judges, and she overheard one of the judges whisper a comment and she's sharing it. And you know, you think, oh, those are inappropriate. You know, that shouldn't be doing that. And then you start complaining. But then when you're in a similar situation where you're getting the advantage of this quote unquote helpful information, you're saying that it's okay. Or if you're having a temper tantrum backstage because you didn't win or you thought you should have gotten the swimsuit award when you didn't, you think it's okay because it's so unfair. Now, what this is you tend to personalize when it's someone else and you situationalize when it's yourself. When it's the other person, you make it about her. You personalize it. She's immature. She's unprofessional. She's not ready to win. But when you do the exact same behavior, which you're complaining about, you situationalize it. Well, it was unfair and the judging was bad. They were biased. You know, they picked the wrong girl. They didn't know what they were looking for, those kinds of things. And so this is called personalizing and situationalizing. I know what you're doing. You're rolling your eyes and you're going, oh my God, she's using that psychology degree she has. Oh my God. What I'm really saying is do not complain about people doing one set of behaviors. But when you do it, you think it's okay. Because everybody is noticing this as two-faced and a double standard. And when you do that, no one, ladies, is thinking of you as a leader in the pageant industry. Because let's be honest, when you're the title holder, whether it's the local festival pageant, your local USA or America title, your state international title, your national United States or America title, whatever it is, the people in that pageant community are looking to you as a leader. And ask yourself, is this really how a leader behaves? Because the difference between a contestant and a title holder is that people look to title holders as role models and leaders, and you need to make sure you're acting like one. All right, so those are some of the things that contestants do that are dumb and dumber. Now let's talk about directors, because I know that you all talk about directors behind their back, but we often don't call them out on the carpet, do we? Because when we're entering a pageant, we're afraid to say anything negative about a director because we're concerned that that might impact our ability to win. So let's talk about the things that drive us nuts about directors. The first one is, and I know you know this one because you all complain about it to me on the phone all the time, the first one is directors who don't update their websites. You know, 6 to 8 months into the title holder's reign, the old title holder's picture and winning moment is still on the website. Contestants hate that, directors. You cannot be guilty of this crime. It's terrible. You know, your title holder is out there making appearances and promoting your pageant and trying to get people to sign up for next year. The least you can do is update the photo on the website. So make sure the photos are up there and don't forget the runners up. Everybody loves to see the top 5 photo with their names so we know who they are. Everybody loves to see the top 10 or top 15, whatever your semifinal grouping is. And we also love to see the photos of the specialty award winners. The girls have worked hard to compete in their pageant. Their family and friends are excited for them, and everybody wants to go see the photos. And remember, the more people you have looking at your website, the more likely it is you are to get more people entering your pageant. Another thing that really drives us nuts is that directors don't have adequate judge selection criteria. What does this mean? This means that the judge just starts calling up people from their address book. Doesn't matter what their qualifications are, who they are, or where they live. They don't have judge selection criteria. They just start calling people till they get enough people to say yes. Your pageant needs to have a judging philosophy. Your pageant needs to establish, are they the kind of pageant that has pageant contestants, you know, former contestants, nobody who's competing, former contestants, current title holders, former directors, other state directors, is it just local business owners, is it people from the community, volunteer activities in the area, what is it? If you ask your director what is the pageant's judging philosophy or what is the judging selection criteria for that pageant, they should be able to produce to you a one-paragraph statement that summarizes how the pageant judging panel is created. In other words, a great judging panel is equally balanced with male and female judges. It represents the diversity and background of the overall population or contestant pool in that area, and depending on the philosophy of the particular pageant, Some pageants want people who don't have pageant experience to be judges, and other pageants want people who are only experienced in the pageant community to be judges, and that's perfectly fine. But you should make sure, directors, that you have judge selection criteria. Now, contestants, I'm working really hard for you here at Pageant Talk Radio and trying to get the directors to make this information available to you and to really make them more accountable to you as contestants. When you're contacting your pageant about possibly competing, before you've sent in your money, before you vote with your money, tell the directors that you want to know what the judge selection criteria is. That is going to force judges to be accountable for how they're selecting, force directors to be accountable for how there is judging selection for their pageant. Okay, so let's go on to another thing that makes me nuts. It really bugs me when directors don't have a defined scoring matrix for their pageant. Because you as the contestant are going in, you've prepared, you've spent lots of time and energy getting ready for this pageant. In some cases, you've spent a lot of, your own time and energy. People have volunteered to help. They've had fundraisers. Your parents have gotten involved. Your best friend, your boyfriend, your husband, the kids, everyone's gotten involved. And they don't have a defined scoring matrix. What is a defined scoring matrix? That's a scoring system that's a piece of paper just printed out. This is not rocket science, people. It's a piece of paper printed out. It might be 1 through 10, and it might say 1 through 3 is below average. That's the definition of the point values for 1 through 3. 4, 5, and 6. Are average. Again, those are the definitions for those point values that the judges assign, 4, 5, and 6. 7, 8, and 9 are above average, and 10 is the best you've ever seen. This is the defined matrix. It's actually used at the national level competition for Miss America, is the 1 through 10, because it's very simple. Most judges understand it. 1 through 3 below average, 4, 5, and 6 average, 6, 7, 8. Or 7, 8, 9 are above average, and 10 is the best you've ever seen. This helps to eliminate confusion on the judge's part. You know, you get one judge who scores easy, quote-unquote easy, where they give everyone 8, 9s, and 10s, and another judge who scores hard, and they give everybody 3, 4s, and 5, right? You need to have a defined scoring matrix. So before you send in your pageant money, contestants, I'm trying to help you here, ask your judges if they have a defined scoring matrix. That's what you're asking for, is a defined scoring matrix. It might be 1 through 10. It might be 1 through 20. It might be 1 through 5. You know, 1 and 2 are below average, 3 is average, 4 is above average, and 5 is the best you've ever seen. So ask your directors, contestants, for their judging selection criteria and their defined scoring matrix. You're also going to want to ask how they orient the judges, because usually you know how these directors are, these pageants. They are busy people. They're running around and they're trying to get everything together. There's always three or four, you know, last minute unexpected emergencies. And the judges come in before the competition starts, and the director is exhausted and frazzled and has no planned orientation for the judges. She gets them together in the judges' room, hands out the paperwork, explains, you know, for 5 minutes or less what they're looking for, and off they go. She doesn't discuss the scoring matrix if they have one. She doesn't discuss, you know, what type of gown is the look? Are we sexy? Are we all American girl? Are we Jackie O here? What kind of swimsuit is acceptable? Is a string bikini okay? Is a thong okay? Do they need to be wearing a conservative one piece? What type of modeling is acceptable? Is this demure conservative modeling, or is this fabulous all out USA or Galaxy modeling, right? And so what they're doing is they're just relying on the judges' innate ability to understand pageantry. And if you think about it, about 80% of the people who are judging have no background in pageantry at all, yet these directors are giving them less than a 5-minute orientation. So that's another thing about directors that absolutely drives me nuts. But the thing that is the dumbest thing that directors do is they have unprofessional staff who treat the contestants poorly. This is the choreographer who's shrieking at you. This is the people who are checking you in at orientation, who act like you're a complete idiot because you didn't know which line to stand in. These are the people who are, handing out lunch, and they make some kind of comment about how hideous the food is. Here's the thing. You as contestants have paid to be in the pageant. Unless you got there for free, you should be treated like the customer. You've paid to enter the pageant. You've probably paid an ad page fee. You've bought tickets for your family, or your family and friends have bought those tickets on their own. You've perhaps raised funds for the pageant's charity event. You've maybe donated a silent auction thing. Maybe you've recruited a sponsor for the pageant. I'm pretty much thinking that you should be treated like the high-quality contestant you are for your pageant weekend. And I know that y'all are doing this. You go to these pageants, you get treated poorly, you complain about it after the fact, and then you go back again next year. I don't know why you do it. I don't know why you do it, but here's the thing. If you go 1 year, we're going to set this rule. If you go 1 year, we're not going to be dumb anymore. If we go 1 year and we're treated badly by the pageant staff and the director, and we sign up to go again next year, and it's the exact same pageant staff, and we knew that going in, ladies, you don't get to complain the second time around. Because if you knew it going in the door, you don't get to complain about it, right? Now, directors, I really do think you have to take a hard and fast look at your unprofessional staff. If your numbers have been going down in the last 2 to 3 years, you need to consider whether or not it's your staff. Because the pageants with really great staff and that have a reputation for putting on a great production and treating their contestants well, their numbers aren't going down. It's a tough economy, and it's impacting the pageant community, but I'm just telling you, there are directors out there whose numbers are not going down. They're remaining steady or slightly increasing. So if your numbers are going down and you're a pageant director, you are going to be dumb if you do not take a look at whether or not your pageant staff is impacting your ability to bring contestants back. Okay, so are you recognizing yourself in any of the things that I've said so far? Well, I'm sure you have, but hang on because it's time to take another quick break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about the dumb things that judges and coaches do that absolutely drive us all nuts. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back here on Pageant Talk Radio.
Are you juggling the dueling demands of a career and pageant competition? The Ms. and Mrs. Corporate America pageant is the only pageantry system where beauty and business take center stage. It's a great opportunity to enhance self-confidence, strengthen leadership skills, and establish friendships with other professional women. It's your chance to be recognized for all your hard work and accomplishments as a phenomenal woman. During your year, we'll support your career achievements as well as your pageant appearances. Visit us today at MsCorporateAmerica.com to learn how you can represent and inspire the career women of America. Do you love pageants but feel like there just isn't a positive place on the internet to connect with others? MyPageantPlace.com is the place to visit on the web for all things related to pageant competition. We welcome anyone with an interest in pageantry, whether you're a contestant, family member, director, vendor, or pageant fan. Your free membership allows you to connect with state, national, and international directors, as well as coaches, makeup artists, and more. Plus, you'll enjoy special discounts available only to our members. Visit mypageantplace.com today and enjoy the positive side of pageantry.
Do you have a headshot that isn't quite pageant perfect? Are you dissatisfied with the touch-up job done by your photographer? At pageantretouching.com, they take the time to make your photo as beautiful as you are. Attention to detail, quality results, and customer service are the most important factors of their business. Get the polished look you're looking for without losing that natural, realistic quality. Just visit their website at pageantretouching.com and check out their before and after photos. That's pageantretouching.com.
Miss America 1980, Cheryl Pruitt Salem, has been designing winning competition swimwear for elite contestants for nearly 30 years. Now, she's put together an exquisite selection of suits in her platinum collection. Platinum Collection swimsuits are individually handmade to your specific measurements using only the finest materials available. We custom weave our lining fabric to provide support and protection, and our fashion swimsuit fabric is the best in the business. From the finest shoes and pageantry to accessories and swimwear created by a Miss America winner, visit www.platinumswimwear.com to find everything you need for your winning competition.
Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on a secret. I've just released an audio CD of my Mastering the Pageant Interview Teleseminar, and I'm making it available to listeners of the show. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, 2 secrets for winning the onstage interview, plus much, much more. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPod. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my new Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $99.95. I want you to know that as soon as the audio CD is posted on the website and available to the general public, the price is going to go up. To get yours, just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page and order yours today so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.